Hello, all you cows, or potential cows. I hope you're not cows, but if you are, hello. This is Jay Nemrell. You're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Zenilith in our never-ending stream of MP3 files. Every time I travel somewhere, I'm stuck in my car, going far away, I'm making MP3 files. Because there's very little else to do where you can concentrate on the road and be safe, yet be able to do something worthwhile. So here it is. Maybe other people will pick up the call and we'll have all kinds of road rage MP3s. Although I don't really think I'm having road rage. Sometimes I do. You'll hear me yeah at people right in the middle of an MP3 file. Okay. We were just talking about Godsend. Right now we're going to talk about the Mariner. This is an interesting character. Let me tell you, first of all, that it's based on Jesus Christ. In fact, it may very well be Jesus Christ. I'm not sure. Sometimes I kind of toy with actually giving big indications that it is Christ for people. And other times I don't. It's just like a Christ-like figure. I've never watched, like, say, The Matrix, for instance, but I know they have a Messiah-like character in The Matrix. And this may be analogous to that. I don't know. I've never seen the movie. I wouldn't know. Anyway, let's talk about the Mariner for a minute. Let's talk about how this whole thing was created, the people of Aladia, how it happened. Well, the Aled all came from a couple. His name was Aladius. Her name was Cassandra. And they lived someplace else. They lived in a very typical place. The problem is they remember nothing about it. They were taken from this place. Someday I might actually give a story and stuff like that. People have always said, was this modern time? Just someplace way off in some forgotten corner that we don't know about? And they've set up this whole culture and it's not very technology-based? Or was it from medieval times? You know, what time frame did Aladius and Cassandra come from? And the question is, I've never decided. I've toyed with it sometimes and then just kind of let it go. The question is, we don't know. It could be this world, it could be another world, I don't know. It could be someplace totally fictitious, it could be someplace that actually exists. I'm not going to say. Anyway, what happened was, these two kids were followers of God in apparently a land that didn't follow God very well at all. And when they prayed to God, when they got inspiration from God, it told them to go and see this man. He was a mariner. He ultimately was called the Mariner because it's the only mariner they ultimately ended up knowing. And there's this whole cloud of mysticism around the Mariner. Anyway, the Mariner is kind of like their Messiah figure. Saved, Aladius and Cassandra from this decadent place where they had grown up. They were rather young, probably only in their late teens, maybe early 20s, married. Hadn't even had children yet. And they were, the Mariner said, I can take you to a place where you'll be safe, where you can do things the way God wants them done. And so the Mariner took them somewhere along this trip. They lost their memories. They lost their memories of the past. Or at least that's the story. That's what Aladius and Cassandra always said. So that when their children, who they ultimately had, several, asked them questions about this, they pretty much didn't, they pretty much just let it go. They said, well, my parents don't know anything. For all we know, they did. They just weren't telling. They weren't going to say what this stuff was because they didn't want their kids going after that. Anyway, they were brought to the island. The island's called First Home. This is pretty literal type stuff. Most of the place names are pretty literal here. First Home was their first home. Anyway, they got there. They built themselves a house. The house is actually still there. It's kind of run down now, and nobody ever goes there. Because it used to have historical significance, but that's been forgotten. It's almost symbolic. And it actually goes to Eladius and Cassandra's first home. It's, you know, like I said, still there. The walls are still there. It's kind of crumbling, just like many, many little old huts in New Mexico. You can still see them, but they're falling apart from disuse, from just disinterest. And that's exactly what the convocation means. It means it's totally uninterested in the past. It's all about right now. It's all about those things. The convocation really doesn't like to keep a history on itself, and it typically doesn't. There is no record keeping done because they really don't want past, say for instance, atrocities recorded. And they've almost trained people not to think about that. The past is in the past. We go in the future. Everything is now. Everything's about making now exactly the way people want it to be. So, and that's kind of the way it is. The book that Mumacinda has, which is somewhat a religious book, is actually kept first by a man named Kiami, who is one of the sons of Eladius and Cassandra. They ended up having many children. The only ones that really come into the story particularly are Trachean, who is the oldest child, also a son. He ultimately becomes the king, their first king and only king. Eladius has always been, was not a big fan, proponent of kings. He always thought it was better to have other ways of taking care of these things. That if they all kept their hearts and minds on God, that they wouldn't need a king. And it pretty much worked when he and Cassandra were in a position to be able to continue to run things. After that, once the population started getting up, all of a sudden there came this concept of having a king. That was actually introduced by bad influence, which we'll talk about here in just a little bit. Anyway, the mariner came and visited Eladius and Cassandra often, and he taught them everything they needed to know and everything they needed to do. He taught them all the physical things like, you know, how to do fires, how to grow food, how to do all these things. They were taught how to do this by the mariner. And they did all these things. He also taught them religious things, taught them about God, taught them about repentance, about doing right, things God wanted them to do. And they followed them. They did a good job, and their children did too, first. Anyway, so this mariner is always kind of a visitor, and one that's anticipated and excited to have come, because he brings things, you know. He's kind of like the house guest you love to have. Anyway, so it's just about a mariner. The kids are starting to grow up and starting to have kids themselves. And Eladius and Cassandra are grandparents. They're getting up in years. And everything's still going pretty good. You know, we have Saradio, we have Trey Chan, we have Kiyomi, and there's others, you know, brothers marry their sisters, yada, yada, yada. And they kind of stay as a cohesive group. At one point, way back in the past, I had them actually split up into different kind of groups, kind of tribes, I suppose. But when it came down to it, it really didn't make any sense in the story to do that. There's going to be one main division when evil comes. There'll be the people who are seduced by evil, the people who aren't. And then things will start splitting up after that. Anyway. So we always have this Mariner. This Mariner is very much a messiah figure. He's a person that brings all these good things to you. He's going to make sure you know all this. And ultimately he'll do what needs to be done to make this happen. Okay, now, let's go ahead and fast back forward to Melisenda and Davor and Westland. They're doing their thing. They're fishing. Oh, you know, you have to fish. They've got their boat. And the two men go off and do this stuff. Not that Westland's a man. Probably at this point he's 9 or 10. You know. And they're out fishing one day. All of a sudden, this other boat comes by, bigger than theirs, not significantly so. Now this boat is this old sailor. And Wilson is read out of the book. She's the one that reads. Davor never really gets around to reading, particularly. Westland's picked it up. He can read and write. Davor never did, because that's what he is. That's not the thing he does. He's a slave. He's a worker. He's a beast of burden. Beast of burden, don't get into that. It's gotten to the point where he shies away from such things. He'll listen to it when it's read to him, but he's not going to do it himself, because it almost is kind of offensive to him. That's women's work, and it kind of bothers him that Westland does that, you know, that he gets involved in women's work. Getting involved in the business of his betters. Davor struggles with this. He tries to put on a good face, but it's tough. Anyway, they have this encounter with, of all people, the Mariner. And, he helps them bring in a good catch of fish, and they go to the shore, and they meet Melisenda there, and they have just a nice time. They almost have an interview. See how things are going. And he gives every impression that this is all according to some plan. And he says that God is going to strive to come into the lives of the children of Eladius and Cassandra again. And that it's going to be in much part due to them. So, anyway, I'm kind of nervous because there's this police officer behind me. And I'm sorry, police officers just make me nervous, state police. I'm on an interstate highway, and They always make me feel nervous. They're just waiting for me to slip up or something. I know he's got other fish to fry besides me. There's people that are going to go by. They're going by much faster than me. I'm actually driving a little under the speed limit, so I should have no problems whatsoever. But still, I'm nervous, which is why I have all these pauses in my narrative. So they have this wonderful little snippet, this vignette where the Mariner comes, and they enjoy it, and they love the Mariner. He's just an amazing, wonderful, fantastic, loving guy. And of course, the whole question is, will you come back and see us again? And he said, well, I'll come when I can. You can always, and he gives him a charge to stay close to God, to continue to read and study from the book, and to continue to put the to continue to fight the tendencies of the convocation. Oh, good, the policeman pulled off to go to Colonius or something like that. Anyway, excellent. Makes me feel better. Okay. Anyway, so they go on with their lives. To be honest, during this whole time, Melisenda is really getting the point to where she's trying to get Davor to just try some new things. She's trying to get him to explore a little bit with the possibilities. You know, he's probably the person that has the most problems separating himself from the convocation. You know, this is just the way his life has always been. It worked for him. You know, he may have been lazy. I'm not saying that he was a fantastic member, you know, a fantastic manservant of a convocation. But that was his life, and that's what he always wanted, and that's what he's always expected to do. And he still hangs on to it. Wilson has had a better chance of breaking away from this, but she misses some of the trappings of it. She misses she misses the gorgeous clothes, which I'm sorry, she looked really, really good in. She misses, to a great degree, the sisterhood. You have to understand, she's living out in the middle of nowhere. You know? And that allure of the sisterhood is very warm and very comforting. And it makes you feel good. She misses that kind of female sisterly companionship that she enjoyed back then. And over time, I'd say right now Westland's probably 14 or 15 years old. They've been gone for nearly 16, 17 years now. And she wants to have that stuff. And Davor and Westland are seeing this more and more often. When Davor and Westland go off to go fishing, she'll be in her chest pulling out her nice dresses. And, you know, modeling them, putting them on, standing in front of her mirror, looking at them. And the guys come back early, and they see her doing this when she doesn't know that they're coming. They've come back early. and they love Melisandre, and they want to take care of this kind of pain she has. She's made a lot of progress, but honestly, she's missing some of the trappings of the Comet Case. Now, the Comet Case itself, but some of the stuff that kind of revolves around it, because all the women are part of it, and she's not. She feels lonely. Let's just leave it at that. We're going to come back, we're going to talk about what happened after this, because it really is kind of the great turning point of the whole story, and it's where all the excitement, the adventure really kind of kicks up. Things start happening. My name is Jane Emerow. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith. We're talking Godsend. If you want to know more about any of these things, if you can go to the website, http://quix.us. You can go to quix.us on the internet, and you can have a whole bunch of stuff about me. We're going to be putting more out of the radio program, BitTorrent files of all these MP3 files. You can have it all. Quix.us. Have a great day. Guy, don't be a cow. I know it's hard. That's what this whole story of Godsend's about, is the difficulty of breaking away from what you've known and doing something else. And my desire is always that when you do that you do something right and good. This is Jane Emerow. Have a great day.